another great episode of Stick to Play Glue Radio. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. This is the podcast to learn how to create your dream business so you too can live your dream lifestyle. I'm the founder and creator of the Dream Business Academy and the Dream Business Coaching and Mastermind Program, and I coach entrepreneurs and small business owners at all levels to build the business of their dream. Today's episode is brought to you by the Dream Business Academy. It's a three-day live event. Our next one is taking place in Providence, Rhode Island, September 27th, 28th, and 29th, 2017. This is a marketing and business building event where you will learn how to build your dream business using what I call my million-dollar platform. Learn more at Dream Biz Academy, dreambizacademy.com. Use the coupon code PODCAST to get $100 off your ticket. That's dreambizacademy.com. Let's move on. I'm really excited about this week's show. My special guest is Scott Scanlon, and let me briefly bring read Scott's bio and we'll bring him right on. Scott Scanlon is the creator and owner of Curation Suite, a content curation platform that gives you the power to curate and publish in any niche or market. Scott is an entrepreneur with over 10 years experience in digital marketing and a background in the U.S. Army, the music industry, real estate, technical consulting, and business development. Scott is also a coder and still enjoys the Zen-like flow of developing when he has time. A coder! Wow. Hey, Scott, how are you doing today?
Hey, Jim. First up, thanks for inviting me on the show. Awesome show, and enjoyed every episode that I've listened to thus far. So always full of great tips.
My pleasure, and I'm sure this isn't because I look at your picture, I don't think you're anywhere close to my age, but when I was in school in 1976, 77 time frame, we used something, I think it was called Fortran, punching holes in cards. That was computer technology back then, but I think a coder, you're probably far advanced of that, yes?
Yeah, I'm familiar with that, but I'm self-taught coder, so self-taught, and when I get a chance to, you know, nowadays, you know, with entrepreneurship, I really shouldn't be doing it, but I just enjoy it so much. You know, there's something about it. So,
very cool. So, also, you're a veteran.
Well, I was in the Army for a couple years. I was stationed overseas in Italy. I was a paratrooper. In fact, one of my jobs was a parachute rigger, which is the person that packs parachutes for the airborne troopers that jump out of planes. So it's a very interesting job. Learned some very good skills in that. And it sent me overseas. I was also stationed in Bosnia as well. So just did a little bit of stint in the Army, but definitely turned my life around.
You know, I got to tell you, the only thing that would be more stressful than jumping out of a plane is being the person who packs the parachutes for people who jump out of a plane. I mean, was that a hard thing for you to do? I mean, you really, I guess, had the life of several people in your hands.
You know, the Army does a really interesting thing to keep you honest, and I really like this. What they do, you know, so imagine you're a 18, 19-year-old young man stationed overseas in Italy, right? So you're you know, having fun, you're single, you're going out. But the Army really likes to keep you honest because what they do, as a parachute rigger, once a month, you have to jump a parachute that you packed at random. So they randomly go out and pick a parachute that you packed in the last 3 or 3 to 6 months and say, hey, put this on your back and we're going to jump out of a plane right now. So that really kind of sobers you up and makes sure that you pay attention to what you're doing. And I actually learned a lesson from that, which is that's a deadly serious job. But what I learned from that is an attention to detail that I still take with me to this day. Which is, if you can design a process, and I know you have many entrepreneurs and small business owners listen to your show, but if you can design a process and then follow that process, you're going to have success and your parachute's going to open every single time. So that's really one of the lessons that I take away from that.
Very good. Well, thank you for your service. Let me ask you, outside of that, have you always been an entrepreneur, or have you had entrepreneurial genes, so to speak? Were your parents entrepreneurs? How did that entrepreneurial bug bite you?
Now, I've always kind of been, I'd say, the entrepreneurial mindset. Like I said, the Army really turned me around. I was on a path in life that wasn't great. But when I got out of the Army, I self-taught myself coding. This was during the dot-com era. Became a consultant at places like U.S. Bank and Wells Fargo. And from there, I'd say my technical skill to do entrepreneur endeavors, and I always gravitated towards the marketing side. So in any business that I started, usually with a partner, I would be more the marketing and the business development side, and I got really good at that. And that's when I look at my history, that's really what got me to where I'm at now. But that's where I never had the option. I never thought of I should get a job. I always thought I should start a service or a business or sell something. That's just kind of where I default to. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Most entrepreneurs are crappy employees, and that's why that's why they don't want to do it. They don't want to take. They want to control their own destiny, as they say. So you created something called Curation Suite. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So this was a process. We were Ubrand Inc. is the name of the company. We were a business development and marketing company, and I was working with a developer to create a curation product that I wanted because I was doing a daily podcast at the time, and the developer told me this is impossible. In a weekend, I created this product called Curation Traffic. We put it on the market on Monday, and it sold. And for a while there, we were selling this product called Curation Traffic and doing our consulting. And one day, I just woke up and I said, we need focus because we were all over the map with our consulting. This product was out there. We were selling a couple other digital products. I said, really, I think there's something in this curation. I think there's an opportunity here for us to just focus and just, let's forget about the other directions that we're going in. And that's when I built from the ground up Curation Suite. I actually built the first version myself. And from there, this is about 4 years ago, it's really been our sole focus on what we focus on. And we have a couple other products that we sell as well. But that's really the start of Curation Suite. It's a content curation platform that works in any market or niche. And I really, when I think about why we started it, what it really enables, it enables people to build authority, publish content, and that's still the driving force of what I put into it today.
So, I've been in the online space since roughly 2006 or 2007. Most people would say I'm very prolific, written a lot of books. My blog has been going for all this time, and I've been doing weekly videos for over 6 years. So I know how hard it is to come up with new content. And actually, if you talk to a lot of entrepreneurs, it's not so much they lack an idea, they lack time to do it. So I do think there's a real value, obviously, in the online space of getting found if you're a good, prolific person with content of all different kinds. What I've noticed in the last couple of years, Scott, and maybe this is why your company's doing well, is that it's not so much that you have to write everything you put out, but it's the people in our companies who are getting noticed now are the curators. So in other words, if somebody's looking for information, they're not putting so much stock as the fact that you didn't write it, but they can go to your website or your portal or your whatever and know that they're going to find a lot of good stuff that serves them. Am I on the same page as what you're thinking about with your program?
You're exactly on the same page. I mean, you're really leading by example by producing so much content, your books, watch some of your videos, your blog posts. And I find for most entrepreneurs, most small business owners, it's tough to create content, but they know that they want to. They know that this is one inbound marketing is one of the best ways to market today. It keeps your site fresh. It sends all the right signals to Google SEO wise, and curation is actually the easiest form of content marketing that you can do. So that's why when people understand what it is, they really embrace it. Because it's in some ways it's a gateway to get you into the habit of creating content, but it's the easiest form of content marketing that you can do because you're, as you said, you're launching off someone else's piece of content, maybe another blog post, an article, a social update, a video. So you already have that glimmer of an idea there, and you're adding your own thought. You're putting your own authority to it. And that's really what makes it a strategy that works for someone that's just getting started. Maybe you've tried to blog in the past, you haven't kept with it. That's a great strategy to restart it. Or if you're someone like you, you do a lot of great content. But it's a great addition to the content that you're doing because, like anything else, the more traffic that you can drive, the more focused traffic that you can drive, because curation is such a lightweight strategy and easy to do, it means you can publish even more content.
Okay. How does content curation drive traffic? And first of all, why don't you let me take a step back and give you a chance. Explain a little bit more, if you would, about Curation Suite and what it means to curate content. Because if I'm understanding correctly, you're actually I want you to tell me what you provide, but it seems to me you can either be the content creator or you can be the content curator. I'm sure I'm not the only dim bulb in the call, so help people understand what the difference is.
Absolutely. So this is going to be a small distinction, but content curation is just another form of content, is the best way to look at it. In fact, any site that you could probably name out there, they use curation. They just don't call it curation. Maybe they call it reporting. Maybe they cite something else. But you can, once you understand kind of the rules of content curation, you understand that you see it all over the place. It's just not – it's often put in this separate bucket. I'll speak briefly why our tool allows you to easily cite content and find content and discover content. So that's its purpose. That's its role. It really does a great job of that. But the best way to look at what curation is let's say you come across a story on entrepreneurship, something you talk about a lot. You cite a section of that article, and then before that article, you put your own thoughts or commentary. That's where you're really building your own authority. But you're citing another piece of content. You're citing maybe a psychology study or maybe someone else's tips on entrepreneurship. And this goes back to how you mentioned, how does it drive traffic? Because it's just the same as any other piece of content. It's just a different form of content, like an infographic or something like that. It's just a different form of content. So it drives traffic, converts the same way. The great thing about curation is that in the time that it takes you to do maybe one 500 to 700 word blog post, if not more, you could do 3 to 5 curations. And it's mainly because of the rules of our what I've shared already, is that the idea is already there, and most people have an opinion on something they see. Most people can take something they see and then immediately add their own thoughts to it, add their own opinion, or at least have something to say of value that's adding to that existing story. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. So are you saying it doesn't carry as much weight or as writing it yourself, or is curation a good adjunct to creating your own stuff?
So here's the true secret, or one true secret, is that curation done correctly, what you're doing on a subconscious level, I'm going to get a little deep here, is that if you do it correctly, you're going to reinforce the value that you provide to your audience and your market. And you do that through your commentary. So the true value of curation is, yes, what you're curating in the story, but the true value is you adding your own thoughts and your own commentary. So if you view it from that lens, it can be just as powerful as content that you create, because you're adding your own thoughts. You're adding your own authority. You're injecting it in there. Does that make sense? I mean, is that clear, or is that?
Yeah. So let's talk about the legal aspect, Scott. Sorry to cut you off. Let's talk about the legal side of it. Like, what are you allowed to share? Do you have to give credit, or are you just sharing links to things that are on other sites? Can you take somebody's article and put it on yours as long as it's whole? Like, where's the boundaries there?
So the boundaries are kind of gray, but it's pretty clear. And it's clear because you're using something that's worldwide in the copyright law, which is fair use. And fair use allows you to cite works of art, various other things. And the general rule of thumb is that you should not cite more than you need. So you should never cite a full article unless you have permission to republish that article. Generally, what you're doing is you're citing anywhere from, let's say, one or two paragraphs from a piece of content. Or if you're doing a video, you can embed a YouTube video on your post and then add commentary around it, so stuff like that. But the general rule of thumb is that you don't want to cite more than you need to. It's kind of a hard rule of thumb. But what is more important is that you're actually adding value to it. And the way to look at this is you want a one-to-one ratio. So for every sentence that you actually curate or cite, you should have a sentence of unique content, which is your own commentary. And of course, you should have an attribution link to that story as well. So you're basically citing a paragraph or two. You have a link to that site, and then you have your commentary. That's a 1-to-1 ratio. If you do that, you're doing the best practice of curation.
Gotcha. What kind of mistakes do you see people make when it comes to curation, content curation?
So the biggest mistakes I would see is I'd say plainly not doing it, but because I think everybody can do it. But the other mistake is they often think about it first in social media. So oftentimes when you see content curation talked about, it's you should be curating content on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest. And there is value there. But as what I always try to impress on people is that the greater value is your own website. That's where if you drive traffic, you're going to get conversions. You're going to get, you're going to get awareness. You're going to build authority. But because it's so easy to curate stuff to social media, people don't do that first, where if they just took the extra 5 to 10 minutes and curated to their own site and then shared that curation on social media, that is actually doing more for your business long term. That's actually using curation in the right way that it should be used. The other thing that I see with curation that people do and this is a nuanced point, we're getting a little advanced, but is that yes, it's important about what you curate, but if you can realize that it's more important the value that you provide, your own commentary, your own thoughts, that's actually more important than what you curate oftentimes. So the biggest mistake I see people making is that they focus too much on what should I be curating as opposed to what value am I adding.
Got it. So, is the main benefit of your program that interpretation, is the main benefit of your program that it's a huge time saver because, you know, the actual art of curation, you go out and find something and say, well, I'd like to share that, but that obviously takes just as much time as it does to write an article yourself. So is the curation suite, tell me how that works. If a client says, I would like you to do this for me, is there an account representative or is some of it automated? How do they get to know what your needs are? Can you talk a little bit about that, Scott?
Sure. So there's a couple different – our tool is based in WordPress, so it works with WordPress blogs. It works with any theme or plugin. And the way to look at it is it really helps you discover content. It gives you all the tools to cite that content and publish that content. So it fits into that role. And we have an aspect of our tool called the discovery engine or the listening engine, which is our content discovery tool. And what that does is you can set it up however you want on listen to any topic or market that you want. So, for instance, in my listening engine, I have a psychology topic where I listen to the latest news in psychology. And on top of all the content that it discovers, it finds social data. So what I can do is I can say, well, show me the content published in the last 24 hours with the most Facebook shares. Or show me the content that's trending in the psychology topic. And this will give me content to curate real quickly with just a couple pushes of a button right in my WordPress blog that I can go and go through the curation process. So it's a time saver, but it also helps you discover content on an ongoing basis. And I can give you an example of kind of one way that this. So yesterday, or was it 2 days? 2 days ago, I fired up my listening engine and I saw a trending story. And this is a good example of something anybody can do, but I'll use it in the marketing example. So I saw a trending story in my listening engine that said Pixar had released a free storytelling course on this place called Khan Academy, right? So I saw this in my listening engine, and I created a curation on that with the title, and this is an important point, and this is what I mean by adding value every step of the way. My title is Become a Master Marketing Storyteller with this free course from Pixar. So that's my title, and then my commentary. If you read my commentary to that post, I talk about why it's important. I believe if you're a good storyteller, you can be a great marketer. And I lead into that with my commentary. I also share that if you're a good storyteller, you're going to do better at curation. So I'm reinforcing my authority. and then I cite over the free course at Pixar. And that took me about 10 minutes. I published that post, which is a curation. It looks like a standard blog post. We promoted it on Facebook. We promoted it in our sharing networks. We promoted it through the native advertising networks. Within 20 minutes, we started to have email conversions to that post. It took me all about 10 minutes to go to really put into action. Is that a good example?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It's a great example. So clock's starting to run down. I've got one time for one more question. How much and how often should you be curating information? And I guess probably part three of how much and how often is like, what's the mix? Should you be doing half your own, half curation, or is part B not even a good question to ask?
I think it's a good question to ask, but I'd also say that the closer or the quicker that you can get to the point where, like I did with this post example that I just gave you, where curation is just another form of content, it also trains you to be a good content marketer. So I find that the more I curate, the more ideas I have for my own content. And so I think that content marketing, you do a lot of it, and I think that the more that you do, there's no right answer. I always say as much as your audience could consume. So I have yet to find a person that hasn't increased their publishing, that hasn't increased their inbound marketing, hasn't increased more leads. So that's kind of the best answer, but I always say as much as you possibly can do. And curation is the best way to do that because, like I said, you could do one blog post and it's going to take you an hour, maybe 2 hours, where you could do anywhere from 6 to 10 curations in that same amount of time. So it's really the quickest way to do content marketing that exists.
That's pretty cool. So how does somebody find you and what's a good website and things like that if they want to learn more about the whole curation model?
So they can find us at curationsuite.com. We have full tutorial videos there. We have training videos. We do a lot of live trainings. I wrote a book also, Content Curation Secrets. So there's a lot of information on diving into curation, and that's the best place to find us. Of course, on Twitter and Facebook, everywhere else.
Awesome. Hey, Scott, great to meet you. Thanks a lot for coming on my program.
Awesome. Thank you, Jim. Great show. Look forward to listening to going forward.
Awesome. Hey, folks, that wraps up another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. I want to thank Dream Business Academy for sponsoring our show. Again, you get all the details of our next event at Dream Biz Academy, dreambizacademy.com. The next event is in September in New England. Use podcast as your coupon code when you're registering. You get $100 off, and right now we have early registrations. You get $100 off that. Thanks to my editors, my assistants, all my Dream Team members who make what I do look so doggone easy. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.